Blog Talk Radio.
We are New Beginnings Ministries, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We are in an interactive Bible study. What is that? An interactive Bible study is, it gives you an opportunity to call in to participate on the line. You can call in. The number to call is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Amen. And when you call in, you can hit number one, and that will open up the lines for you. Or that will see a question mark, and that we open it up knowing that you have a question, and we'll open it up. But as of late, normally when anyone calls, we open up all the mics. Amen. We open up all the mics unless there is a distracting sound or noise in the background, and we will then close up all of the mics so that it is not distracting the speaker for the evening. Amen. This evening, we're going to have prayer, and after we have prayer, we're going to get into the scripture, and we do invite you to participate. We do invite you to participate. Amen. We'd like to ask if there's anyone that is on the line at this time. If you have a prayer request, would you please let it be known? This evening, we're praying for healing amongst the sick. Amen. We're praying for healing amongst the sick. So if there's someone that you know that is sick, amen, you just let us know, and we will include their name in the prayer. But this evening, I would like to submit a prayer out to Stuart Hawthorne, who was recovering at Hillcrest Hospital. Amen. God has blessed him to recover, and he is still working through him so that he can get back to his normal functioning mobility. He's able to get around and do the things that he enjoys doing. So we're going to have prayer, then we're going to go on into the scripture. Amen. Father, as we come before your grace, the throne of grace, it is our will that we surrender everything that I am. Amen. We surrender everything that I am and everything that I'm striving to be. We open up the deepest recesses of our hearts and invite your Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. We also offer our lives, our heart, our mind, our body, our soul, our spirit, and our hopes, our plans, and also our dreams. We surrender to you our past, present, and future problems. Father, we ask that the character that we have within us reflects our attitude for you. Amen. It reflects our attitude for you. Father, we also ask that our livelihood, our resources, our finances, any type of medical coverage or any occupation, and everything that we are going through, we turn it all over to you with our special relationship that we call upon you that you would be with us at this time. Father, we give to you our health, our physical appearance, our disability. We give you our family, our marriage, our children, and friendship. Father, we ask that you take lordship over every aspect of our lives. We surrender to you all the hurt, the pain, the worry, the doubt, the fear, any anxiety that we have. Father, we ask that you would wash us clean in the name of Jesus. Father, we release everything to your compassion and your care. Father, we ask that you would please speak to us clearly, to our hearts clearly. We open our ears to hear your voice. Father, we open our hearts to commune with you more deeply. And we want to be able to feel your loving embrace. Father, open up the doors. Please open up the doors that are needed to be opened, Father. And we ask that you would close those doors that need to be closed. Father, we ask that you would just set our feet upon the straight and the narrow road that leads to our everlasting life. We turn everything over to you in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. As we move on, our topic for this evening, our topic this evening is love fulfills the law. Love fulfills the law. And our scripture is coming from Romans 13:8-10, and also Romans 12:1-2. Amen. Romans 12, 1 through 2, and also Romans 13, 8 through 10. And our biblical text is coming from the Standard Bible. Amen. It's coming from the Holy Bible, the ESV, known as the English Version, the English Standard Version. That is where the scripture is coming from. Amen. And the scripture says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. In Romans 8 through 10, 13, 8 through 10, it says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Amen? So that is the scripture that we are reading from. Again, that is Romans 12, 1 through 2, and also Romans 13, 8 through 10. And our topic this evening is love fulfills the law. Amen? So, again, we do invite you, if you have a comment, please share your comment and what the Lord has laid on your heart. This is an interactive Bible study. And those of you that's listening by internet, if you choose to call in 347-237-4005, you can connect to the studio, and we will open it up for you. Amen? So as we move on, we are looking at where this is a warning to the Gentiles and the Christians. Amen? It's a warning to the Gentiles and the Christians. And what it's saying here is it's talking about the Pharisees. It talks about the Pharisees was broken off, and it's using a passive voice, which indicates an action that is performed by God. Amen? Now, the fact that the Gentiles are considered a wild olive shoot, and it implies that that they are unexpected and even unnatural. When Paul is speaking of this, it is good who takes them from the wild state and grafts them into a cultured olive tree. And if you look further, that talks about that in even more, gives even more detail in Romans 11, 24. Now, when we look at grafted is being that you have been made a part of something. You have been taken from something, and you're grafted and made a part of something. Amen? You have been grafted. Amen. So that's what it's referring to, what it's referring to that. Amen?
Amen.
And so as we move on, in a sense, all of this, we're looking at God's merciful action. We're talking about where he takes a wild olive shoot, and he's talking about the Gentiles, and then he talks about he cultivates it and makes it into an olive tree. He cultivates it and grafts it into an olive tree. Now, when we look at this, we look at when the Gentiles and the Jews at that time, they were separated. They were separated, and the Gentiles. The Jewish culture at that time did not feel that the Gentiles were that God heard them. They felt that he only heard the Jewish Gentiles during that time. And so what God is happening, what's happening here is God has blessed those who are the believers. Now, if you are considered a non-believer and there, you know, at that particular time where you did not believe in God's law and you held on to the Roman law, then you were a non-believer. You are a non-believer. And what God did was he took the Gentiles and granted them to be a part of God's chosen people. He blessed them to be a part of God's chosen people. So what it talks about in terms of the Gentiles are a wild olive shoot. It's talking about something that's wild, and it's been taken and it has been grafted to a healthy root. Amen? So we're moving on with that. Paul counsels the Gentile Christians to stand in awe. He asked them to stand in awe. And if you look at verse 20, we'll talk about that. The mercies to regard God with respect, to guard God with respect and in reverence. Paul says, so that if you think that you're standing, watch out that you do not fall. If you think that you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. So what is it saying there? It's saying that not to be too proud. Not to be too proud. Not to feel as though you are better than anyone else. God has granted us to be a part of the those who are saved and who are going to go to heaven. And it's saying here that one should not feel that they're better than someone else. So when you stand in pride, when you stand and feel like that you are better than someone else, it's saying here, watch out that you do not fall. You do not fall. So we're moving on. I'm hearing comments in the background. If you have a comment, please just join on in. Amen? Please join on in. The olive tree is considered a metaphor of the Old Testament, and that's what is used here. And what the wild olive is being put in the context of where the believer is supposed to avoid temptation. I'm hearing noises in the background. Amen. Thank you. The context here is the believer should avoid temptation, to not put Christ to the test. Not to put Christ to the test. And I know we put Christ to the test, and that is to not complain. To not complain. Because if you go back even further, you look in terms of the Jews at that time, Israel was considered the chosen people. But while they were in bondage, during the time that they were in bondage, they were complaining because they felt that God was not with them. They felt that God had abandoned them. God had abandoned them. So, and it's saying here that the believer should avoid temptation, not to put Christ to the test, and not to complain. The olive tree is an important thing that we have to say, but not to be the Old Testament. And if you want to look at the best, you look at Jeremiah 11 through 17, which talks about Israel is a green olive tree. Israel is considered a green olive tree and is filled with godly fruit that has proved unfaithful to God and will be burned. And will be burned. In the whole day, along 14:6, the prophet says that the Lord will be Lord and unfaithful Israel to be beautiful.
talking about being used in a way that is going to restore Israel. He's going to bring people in there to believers and unbelievers. He's going to take the believers and unbelievers, and he is going to make it beautiful. Because at that time, there are so many non-believers that believe in Christ. The non-believers during that time, they did not believe in Christ. They didn't believe in Christ. They were not concerned and agreeing on the agree. He's saying that he is going to make the believers, he's going to turn that around, and those who are the believers, he is going to turn that into a godly fruit. A godly fruit. And again, if you want to look any further to do your research, you can look at Hosea 14:6. Amen. Where God's talking about restoring an unfaithful Israel to be a beautiful olive tree. Amen. Now, the prophet says that the Lord will cause a new shoot or a branch to grow from a stump. And when he looks at that, he's talking about Jesse, who will restore or rescue God's people. Amen. And in all of this, God is pronouncing judgment on God's unfaithful people. He's pronouncing judgment on God's unfaithful people. And he's saying, but hold fast to the goal of salvation. Hold fast, no matter how it looks, no matter what it looks like. He's saying to hold fast to the goal of your salvation. Amen. Paul recognizes that God's severity in relationship is not only with Israel, but also with the Gentiles. Amen. It was a critical relationship not only with Israel, but also with the Gentiles, but also in his own life. Paul is talking about his own life as well. He's not just separating himself. He's also including himself. In 1 Corinthians, if you want to look any further, in 9:24 through 27, when Paul counsels Christians to exercise self-discipline out of a consideration for others in order to focus on winning others to Christ Jesus. Focusing on ourselves, focusing on ourselves so that we're able to win others to Christ. Amen? And he closes with saying that he exercises such discipline that he should not be disqualified. Now, Paul is not speaking of a moral perfection, but he is talking about trusting in God and relying on God's grace. Those are the two factors there, trusting in God and relying on God's grace. Amen? So this is what Paul is saying. And Paul cautions the Gentile Christians about feeling superior to Jewish Christians or the Jews in general. Amen? The Christians can begin to regard their personal faith as anything to boast about, as if it were their own work. Amen? Not boasting about anything as if it was your own work, meaning that we're not to lose faith, or not to begin to become so powerful and prideful that we begin to believe that or forget about God, remembering that God is the one who is holding us up. God is the one who is restoring us. God is the one who is making things happen when we are going through anything, any trials or tribulations, when we're going through that we are to remember God and not focus and believe and begin to start to have that self-worth that it was us that did it. It was us that did it. We did it. And that's what Paul is saying here. And that's what he's talking about, that we are to continue to trust in God and relying on his grace, because it's God's grace that we're able to do what we're able to do. And so Paul is speaking to the Gentiles, reminding them that they are to stand fast on their trust and their belief in God. And don't forget about God, because at that time, the Jews had lost their relationship with God, because they began, God felt that they had turned their hearts from him. They had turned their hearts from him simply because of, as we talked about earlier, the murmuring and complaining, feeling that God was not there. And then I asked the question, do we ever feel when we are going through anything, I'm not talking about we, I'm talking about in general, do we ever feel that God is not with us, God is not there? Do we feel that God is not answering our prayers? Do we ever feel that God has forgotten us? Has he forgotten us? Has he forgotten us? Amen? So Paul counsels Christians to exercise self-discipline out of consideration for others so that we might win others to Christ. So we are to exercise that self-discipline so that we can win others to Christ, not losing sight, not becoming prideful, not beginning to start to brag. Amen? Not beginning to start to feel that we're all that. But letting others know that it's not through us, but it's through Christ that we're able to do what we do. How often do someone compliment, and the first thing that comes out, we don't acknowledge Christ. And I'm not saying that you do that. I'm just speaking in general. Does it ever happen? When people compliment you for something that you have done well, do we give Christ the honor? Do we give Christ the honor? Do we remember that if not by our will, that we're able to do what we're able to do? Amen? It's through his grace, amen, and it's through the love of Christ. Amen? So God has a kindness in his power. He has a kindness in his power. When we fall short, God has a kindness in his power. He's able to do anything that he chooses. But God loves us enough to remind us when we fall short, to remind us. Amen? That Holy Spirit lets us know when we are not in a right relationship with Christ. Amen? And going on, Paul closes with saying that he exercises such discipline that he should not be disqualified. Exercises such a discipline that he does not be disqualified, not getting disqualified. When we become disqualified, that means that we have we've broken a rule. We've broken a rule. We have not followed the rule. So therefore, like someone is in a race, if they're supposed to stay in their lane, they should stay in their lane when they're running. If they run in someone else's lane, they are disqualified. Amen? Running in someone else's lane, we become disqualified because the rule says that we are to stay in our lane. And isn't that very similar? Do you think that that's very, wouldn't that be very similar when we think about in terms of our lives? Staying in our lane. Staying in our lane. Amen?
Amen.
Staying in our lives. Our lane. I lost track for a minute. I thought I heard an amen back there.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So as we move on, and when we look at, you know, that Paul is not speaking of moral perfection, keep that in mind. He's not speaking of moral perfection, but he's talking about continuing to trust in God. We're to continue to trust in God and rely on God's grace. Now, Paul cautions the Gentile Christians about feeling superior to the Jewish Christian and the Jews in general.
He says that we Christians can begin to regard our personal faith as something to boast about, as if it were not our own. If it were not our own, we have nothing to boast about. We have nothing to boast about. We cannot boast about anything that we do. We begin to build on our faith as a basis of superiority. Amen? We begin to build on our faith as a basis of our superiority. Now, there is a scholar, and his name is Anders Nygren, and he writes that the only thing which Christians can build on is the goodness of God. The only thing that Christians can build on is the goodness of God. Amen? That is the only thing that Christians can build on. Amen? Now, I'm going to open up the mics and ask if there's any questions at this point in time. Any questions at this point in time? What about staying in your lane? What about staying in your lane? Do you ever feel or find that you are running the race and sometimes you find yourself in the wrong lane? Do you find yourself in the wrong lane running the race? Amen? And what I mean by in the wrong lane, that we begin to start to focus on what others are doing and not what we're doing. Do we begin to start to feel that sometimes that it is we are the ones who are boasting on what we do? I was able to do this. I accomplished this. Able to get by on this. The mics are open. Any comments? Any comments? Well, I guess I might as well share on that, because I am totally I totally fall short. I think of times that, and I'm thinking about when I start thinking about running the race, at times that I was running track. When I was running track, of course, you know that I'm not running anymore, but I was running track. And I remember I was pretty decent, and I remember that I would begin to start to win so much that when people would compliment me, they would compliment me, I began to start to feel how good I was because I was winning so many races, and I began to start to feel good about myself. I didn't boast, but indirectly I did. Because anytime anyone complimented me, I felt it was me that was able to accomplish that success. How was I able to accomplish that success? Why? Because I had practiced and I was just that good. So I did not boast on myself, but indirectly, when I think about it, I did boast on myself because I was feeling that it was me that was winning those races. Amen? So here, Paul talks about that we need to watch about boasting. Watch about boasting. Amen? That we need to watch about boasting. And he's also saying that we need to also make sure that whatever we do, that we are able to witness to someone else. So if I'm running a race and I'm feeling that I'm able to do all of this and I'm feeling that I'm all that simply because I'm winning all the races, they're not going to be able to see the Christ in me. They're not going to be able to recognize me as a Christian. The only thing that they're going to be able to see is the human side of what I'm able to do. They're going to look at me almost as the success is me. I'm not pointing to Christ about because of what I was able to do. I'm not letting others know that in terms of humility or being humble that I was able to do that.
I'm not giving Christ the credit. So if I'm trying to witness to someone at that time, they might see me as someone who bragged too much, someone who felt that I was better than others because I was able to win races and I was in a category different from others. Any comments, anything that you'd like to share? Any comments? Okay, moving on. I thought I'd be able to open up some conversation with that. So, Paul cautions during this time, he cautions the Gentiles and the Christians about feeling superior. Amen? Feeling superior to the Christians or the Jews in that time. And if you notice, if I take it back a little further, we're talking about being grafted into the body of Christ. Amen? And because we have been grafted into the body of Christ, and Paul is saying that we should not boast. We should not boast. We shouldn't feel that we are better than anyone else. Amen? We should not feel that we are better than anyone else. Amen. Any comments? Amen. Love fulfills the law. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, to present your body as a living sacrifice. This is Romans 12, 1 through 2, and Romans 13, 8 through 10. To present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So when it's looking here, it's talking about, it's saying here, appealing to the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, when we present ourselves to God at all times, then that is our spiritual worship. See, because others are looking at how we are presenting ourselves. That is our spiritual worship. We don't have to say anything. We don't have to do that. All we have to do is present, making sure that God comes first in everything that we do. Putting God first in everything that we do. He is the big G, not the little G. He is the big G. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
That by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So being transformed is here. Paul is talking about how we think. Being transformed. Not thinking before we came to Christ, we had a certain way of thinking, in terms of the world. We cannot, once we've been transformed, it's how we think about God. And that tells think is what's going to come out of our mouth, and it's also going to come out with how we react in this world. How we react. People are watching you and they're watching me. Amen? They're watching the Christians and how we act. And that starts off, Paul is saying, it starts off by renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Changing of having a different mindset. Amen? I call that the law of God. The law of God. Two laws. One law is the law of Moses when there was a particular law you had to perform these certain duties. But by grace in the New Testament, God has given us that mindset where our mind is focused. It says focus strictly on God, loving God with all our heart, our mind. Amen. We're going through that. So the renewing of our mind is how we respond, how we react in this world. That is the renewing. offering our bodies as being a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, meaning that we can't do what we used to do. Amen? There has to be a difference. There must be a difference. There must be a change. People need to see that within the body of Christ. We can't go out and, again, do the same things that our friends do. We cannot do that. Because what Paul is saying is that if we do that, then we have no witness. We can't bring anyone to Christ if we're doing the same thing that they're doing. Going to the parties and the drinking and acting the same way they do. We can't do that. That is the renewing of the mind. Amen?
I'm
going to open up the mic. Any comments?
Yes, I have a comment.
Yes.
I like the way you said it's your spirit, your worship spirit, or your spirit worship. That's what you said, Elder
Amen.
Clay?
Yes.
I like how you said that because, like you said, it's important that, you know, we are being watched. People are looking at us. And if you want people to come to Christ and follow Christ, you have to be the example. You know,
Amen.
You can't, you know, live the way you want to live. There's rules and regulations that God requires us to live, and that is to be holy. We got to live holy.
Amen.
We got to live righteous. We have to do what is required of what God has called us to do. And
Amen.
You running the streets, you doing all kinds of things, people are looking at you. And it's so important, and even if you're in leadership, if you are a leader in a church, you can't
yes.
be acting no other way like the other lay members because they're looking at you.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
It's important that you follow the rules that God requires us to do in his word and be
Amen.
An example to others.
Amen. Amen.
You know, time out for doing all the other things. When you said that, you know, when you said I'm a leader or you said I'm over an auxiliary of your church or a ministry, once you said that, there's a responsibility that you must take and there's accountability that you would have to have.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
The fact that, first of all, you accepted and you said that God had called you to it, and then secondly, there's people under you. That are looking at you.
Amen.
And so, you know,
Amen.
I just like to say, you know, what you're saying is on point. And we as leaders and people, and if you said that you're the child of the King.
Amen. You know, act like it. Amen. 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 And that is so true. That is so true. You know, we have a responsibility. You know, as the body of Christ, as Christians, we have a responsibility, especially if you are a leader and you have people under you. And the worst thing that we can do is lead others to hell. To lead others to hell. Rather than leading
right.
to heaven, leading to hell. Amen? Because
mm-hmm.
they begin
Amen.
To start you feeling, or they just, you know, make choose, you know, they don't even want to come to church. And it's because of that leader. Amen. So there's
right.
an accountability factor there. There is an accountability factor. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to Romans 13:8-10. I'm about ready to step on some toes now. Owe no one anything except love each other.
That's right.
For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment is, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this world. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Love is fulfilling the law. Owe no one anything except love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, has fulfilled the law. Comments? Any comments? Loving each other. That is a commandment. You shall love and not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet, or any other commandment or summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What does no wrong to a neighbor? Therefore, love is fulfilling the other. And I look at that neighbor part, that neighbor part. Owe no one anything.
That's right.
Owe no, someone owes, let's get to the point of it. Having bills that we're choosing not to pay. We're choosing not to pay. Amen? Having bills that we're choosing not to pay. It says, owe no one anything. So it's not just
but love.
Consumed with what we just said. We're talking about everything. Owe no one anything. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I think many of us fall short of that. There are people that we owe that we choose not to owe. There are people that lend us money that we choose not to pay them back. Owe no one anything. In other words, that we should not have any debt. The only debt that we should have that's outstanding is love for one another.
Amen.
Any comment?
Yes, when I look
any
at that
comment?
Particular.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. When I look at that particular scripture, I look at it as where the Bible says that we should be the lender and not the borrower.
Mm.
Amen. We should be able to give and not be the borrower. And you said, like you said, only thing we should owe is brotherly love to our to the loved ones. That's what we owe. Only thing I owe you is love. Not that
mm-hmm.
I should be borrowing money from you. Because if you're not following that scripture, you're not walking in that scripture when you start borrowing. See,
mm-hmm.
we are not supposed to borrow. You know, the Bible
Amen.
Says, you know, Jesus, God is our Jehovah. He's our provider. So
Amen.
Whenever you're going
Amen.
Through, you look to him for the help.
Amen.
It wasn't designed for us to go and say, hey, borrow this, borrow this, borrow that, borrow that. That's not what it's designed for. If
Amen.
You in need, go
Amen.
To the Father.
Amen.
Because if
that
you start
is,
borrowing money, you know, then you know, and then you can't pay it back, then
mm-hmm.
problems come between the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when
Amen.
Money happens, when money situation happens, you know, love is out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know, conflict
Amen.
Comes. You know, disappointment comes from that. So the scripture was just trying to help us not to get to that of conflict and not having love for one another. That's why he said,
Amen.
You owe them only love.
Amen.
And if you're going through, trust God and believe God that he's going to bring you out because he is your provider. He's your source.
Amen. Amen.
So you
Amen.
Don't have to go borrow. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We should not have to go and borrow. Amen. I like that. God is our provider. Amen. And if God is
mm-hmm.
our provider, then he provides what we need. He provides
right.
what we need. And sometimes we go out and we tend to overstep our boundaries and we put ourselves in situations where we're not
right.
depending on God. We're not depending on God. You know, we're depending on the temptation of what it is that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not able to pay it back, and you know what, so many of us fall in that category.
Uh-huh.
So by internet, don't feel that we don't fall in that category. All of us fall into that category.
Yes,
but
we do.
But here, Paul is just saying what we should not do. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And if we do that, then we should work our way of getting out of debt. Amen? Getting out of debt. Working our way little by little to get out
mm-hmm.
of debt. And that's what Paul is speaking of. And he's also talking about, you know, I mean, in Thessalonians in 5:15, he talks about that we should pay, that we should make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone
mm-hmm.
else. Don't pay
right.
back wrong for wrong. And that's why, you know, Paul talks about in terms of love, you know, God's love for us. Amen. God's love for us,
mm-hmm.
how we exhort that same response to our neighbor, loving our
mm-hmm.
neighbor and ourselves. As much as we love ourselves, it's the same way we're supposed to love our neighbor. Amen.
That's right.
And
amen.
If someone does something to us, we don't try to do get back at them, paying a wrong
right.
for wrong. Amen. That is not love. That is not love.
No. Nope.
Amen. And then saying I'm sorry after. That is not love. Amen.
Nope.
And Paul is talking about in terms of that we should, you know, about that we should pay this debt, love one another. Amen. And that's giving the expression of our behavior by how we follow the law. It's our behavior of how we follow the law, meaning that we are the body of Christ. And when we exemplify love one to another, others begin to start to see that. Amen?
Uh-huh.
And he gets back with that renewed mind, with that renewed
right.
mind. We're not how we used to be. How we used to be. I remember my younger days, if somebody did something to me, I want to get back at them. I want to get back at them in my younger days. But as we get older, as we and then once we accept Christ in our life, you know, the old has, that's in the past. Amen? Because God has something great for us. Once we begin to start to be obedient to the word of God, things begin to open up. Amen? Things begin to open up in our lives, and we have to have that faith and knowing that there's grace. There's grace. God constantly is sending grace to each and every one of us. And we have to have that mindset of knowing that God is a good God, amen. And we can't be
amen.
Caught up in complaining or murmuring and feeling that God has forgotten about it. No. He
right.
has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten about me. God has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten about me. God is still the same God yesterday as He is today. And when we learn to wait on God, let me tell you something. It becomes even better. Once God comes through, it's even better than we expected. You know, the word says, taste and know that I am good. So in order to taste something, you have to wait for it. You have to wait to be able to understand the love and the grace that God gives us. But that comes by waiting. By waiting and knowing that God is always going to be here for us, amen? And sometimes we get caught up and we lose sight and we begin to start to feel that God is not with us and we begin to take things in our own hands and we do things on our own. And Paul is saying that we should not fall into that lane. Don't get into that lane. Stay in your own lane, amen? We know that what we're supposed to do in Christ, stay in your lane. Don't try to do what someone else does, amen,
mm-hmm.
or follow them. It's like the race. We have a race. And when you fall into, when you go into another race, when you're running a race, you become disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
We become disqualified.
Right.
So what we are to do is stay in our lane. And I guarantee you, my brothers and my sisters, when we stay in our lane, let me tell you something. You know, we end up finishing the race. We end up finishing the race when we stay in our lane. And that's by
mm-hmm.
discipline, by discipline. Discipline. We cannot fall short by discipline. Even though it appears that things are falling short on your side, even though that it appears that things are not working out the way you wanted, even though it appears that you're not getting well quick enough, let me tell you something. God wants to come to our rescue, but He wants
mm-hmm.
it on His standards and not our own.
Right, right.
God wants the glory. When God comes through, we know without a shadow of a doubt that it was Him and not us. Any comments? Amen. The command
Amen.
To love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. We're not to seek revenge. We're not to bear a grudge against one another. Amen. We're not to bear a grudge, but we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. And Paul keeps alluding to this over and over and over. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. And that is one of the greatest commandments. Amen. Yeah. As we get closer toward the end of the hour, are there any comments? Any comments? Any comments? Amen. 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 We're going to be closing on out. We do thank you for tuning in. We invite you next week. We invite you next week at 7 o'clock. At Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in. You do not want to miss next Wednesday. Amen. Because there's a
Amen.
Blessing coming your way. Amen. There is a blessing coming your way. So we'll make sure that you tune in at 7 o'clock. Amen. Call in, listen by internet. Make sure that you tune in. Amen. Because I truly believe
Amen.
The word of God, the word of God is going through the internet. Amen. And it's changing hearts and it's changing minds, renewing minds. I believe that God is working through this internet. I truly believe in that. Amen. And I'm looking
yes,
forward
amen.
To bless you. God has blessed you. Call in and let us know. Let others know when God is blessing you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Share your testimony.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Don't just share it with your friends, that your surrounding friends. Call in and let us know what God, how God is working through your life. Amen. Because God is
amen.
Just that type of God. So you don't want to miss next Wednesday. Tune in. Amen. Any closing comments before we close out? Any closing comments? Amen, amen, amen. Once again, we do thank you for tuning in. Tuning in, and next week we will see you. Remember that.
I face the dawn.